It's a pleasure to have Leah Povoshayev on the phone today with me. She's talking about her new book, When Russia Came to Stay. How are you, Leah?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Father Chris?
Very good. Why did you write this book?
For a number of reasons, primarily because I was dealing with a difficult time in my life, and I was also a very young writer involved in graduate school and needing a creative project. And the two aligned very nicely, where I just started writing about my life years and years ago before the story really emerged and Orthodoxy became the heart of the story.
Okay.
So it started then, and it grew from there over the years and over having Dima's parents, my husband Dima. His parents came from Russia, and when they came and we became Orthodox, the story really seemed to take hold.
Okay. And in the introduction of your book, you wrote this: this is a story for those who are in the world trying to live in Christ and love family. Particularly, it is for those seeking to stay together in marriage, to beat the odds against divorce, and to find the reward of a sustained love. Now, that's a lot. How do you think your marriage, which many would say is pretty unique, is relatable to everyone?
We've heard probably that love is a covenant relationship, both with God and with our earthly beloveds. However, I think that if we start to break that down and think about what it means just on a day-to-day basis, it means to me, and this book, the heartbeat of this book, when I say it was about this hard time in my life and marriage and family life, it's about love is a choice.
Hmm.
It is a choice. And from that choice, a way of life develops. And from that way of life, a routine. And that's the center of what my message is for this, from this story. I believe that our marriage parallels our faith journey. Salvation comes from the circumstances in one's life. And because I'm married and many others are married, how we engage that marriage becomes the way in which we learn to love others and ultimately then love God. And so my marriage, though it may seem different, seems very much like others in that there's the typical stress of just having family, having children, having in-laws. Of course, mine are from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Having the stress of being very different from my husband, which is very common, I think. And also the stress of being an intense person and having married somebody very intense. We have a very passionate household. And I think that others may tap into that. And if they can't, they may understand that that would be something easy to spark fire.
Well, passion is a good thing, as we know. But passion can also lead to some really heated arguments, can it?
It can, absolutely.
And time can also jade a person into just an existence rather than living a marriage. And I think that's so important. Let's ask the question, what was the first real obstacle, let's say, that you encountered in your marriage? And how did the two of you work through it? How'd you get together?
Well, I think that God exploded our immaturity in a progression of closely timed events. We faced infertility. That was the first big thing. After 4 years of marriage, we realized at that point that we had some infertility issues. And then we did unexpectedly become pregnant, and as that came about and we had the child, we realized then how grossly unprepared, of course, we were for having a baby, and especially myself in being a mother, I had a lot to learn. And you add to the mix the cultural expectations of my husband expecting me to cook a big vat of borscht, and me barely knowing how to make grilled cheese, and just all the other many expectations of being from very different cultural backgrounds,
sure.
Both my husband being from Russia and then also having grown up in a very wealthy family here, and just being a middle-class American girl, very sheltered in many ways, having lived here. It really created for us a situation that was not easily reconcilable.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, we have his parents coming to visit, and they came with Grandma, who mentions, and more than mentions, sort of elbows us to go to the Orthodox Church and baptize this new child, Victor, in the Orthodox Church. And so it was probably, I would say, that was the culminating event. That right there was the first huge obstacle. And it was an obstacle in a very interesting way, because my whole life, I had always been seeking God and seeking Him with all the passion and all the desire that is within me. And I was Protestant, brought up evangelical. We bounced around, not one tradition, but all over. And I thought I really knew who Jesus Christ was. And, of course, before my husband and I married, I had gone to Russia, and I actually experienced Pascha. And while there, and this is all in the story, I did have a moment where I realized that I knew nothing. I knew nothing of the nature of God. I knew nothing. And it was with that complete conviction that Orthodoxy, I think, took seed in my heart. Although, like I've just sort of jumped ahead, we were married 4 years, we had this baby, the parents come, grandma's prodding us to the Orthodox Church, and at that time I was Protestant, we were going to an Assemblies of God church, and I was praying with all my heart for spirit and truth. And yet, in the midst, God broke in because he started to really speak to my mind, and I was wondering, how did St. Paul set up the early churches? How did the structure of church, how was it intended to be? And why does it seem there's such a lack of structure and hierarchy? And it seemed to me there was a whole backbone missing from my experience, and I wanted to understand more.
And was that church welcoming when you went into it?
We actually visited a handful of different parishes. Mm-hmm. They were welcoming in their own way, but welcoming to those that would understand the tradition.
Okay.
Meaning, when I said to a woman at coffee hour, I know Jesus Christ, I've known him since I was 3 and invited him into my heart, and she looked at me with wide eyes, I thought I was being rejected. But in truth, it was the way in which I was representing God mm-hmm. okay. that was being rejected.
In the quote that I read at the beginning, you mentioned beating the odds against divorce. I mean, was there ever a time when a divorce for you felt like it was a good option?
It never felt a good option, but it did seem in certain moments that it was an inevitable result. I was in graduate school. My husband was commuting to work, an hour to work and an hour home. And then you throw hockey into the mix. We had our first son, and then we had a second son, and hockey began. My husband was coaching. And then beyond those different attributes, there was the fact that we were both dissatisfied with who the other seemed to be as a spouse and as a parent. We were so pained and so deeply torn that it seemed that there would be no way in some moments. But because we're both very stubborn and very passionate, we tried to bite back those words and not say the D word. Although there was one occasion in particular. We had attended a Greek parish that was not our normal parish, and normal to us was still very abnormal. So we had gone to a different environment so that we could begin the service together and my husband could leave with our son to go play hockey. I stayed at the church. It was after coffee hour. It had been an hour. My husband still didn't get us because he was having something with hockey. And when he did pick us up, I got in the car and I said, I think that this is not going to work. Because in my mind, it seemed that hockey was over us, that my husband was resisting the only way in which I thought we could stay together. And that was through Orthodoxy and through truly seeking God together. I thought he would not engage with me enough on that. And I thought that was the only way. And when we did return home, my husband was very quiet. And he was laying in a room, and it was a very, very stilling experience. I can hardly put words to it. But when I entered this room, and I seriously felt a palpable spirit of despondency, it was frightening. Mm. And I went close to him, and I said, Dima, what's going on? And he was so listless. And he said to me, the future does not look good. It does not look good. And he chose divorce in that moment. And we went into the kitchen in a very matter-of-fact way, and we were going to sit down and think about things and talk about things. And I grabbed a picture of our son from the refrigerator, the oldest son, and I said, Dima, you can't go. Stay. Stay for him. Just stay. And with all my heart, I can't even tell you the love that welled up. It was like everything inside me said, I don't care what will be, what must be endured, we must stay together. And my husband still, I don't know that he was convinced at that moment, but something did seem to gel, that we weren't going to be parting, but that it was going to be a really rocky road. Mm-hmm. So that was the closest point we came to breaking the marriage apart, but we did not. We did not. We had many moments of just, you know, struggling to stay together, but mm-hmm. in fact, we have.
Well, let's be honest. There are times in marriage when you just have to grit your teeth and push through it, right?
Absolutely.
But let's talk about some of the rewards you've seen. But before you do that, I want to refer to a song I heard once. I was on a trip with our parish. We take these cruises off into the Caribbean since we're in Florida, and we gather the people together. And some of the entertainers came on. They said, "We want to sing a fabulous song for you that Celine Dion did and Luciano Pavarotti did, and it's 'I Love You, I Hate You.'" I don't know if you've ever heard that song. But it said, "You make me strong, you make me sad, you make me strong, you make me mad, you make me long for you. You make me live and die, you make me laugh, you make me cry." And it goes on and on. "I hate you, I love you, I love you, I hate you." A relationship is sacrifice, as you said. And if you're not willing to sacrifice, then yes, you will lose the relationship. So let's talk a little bit about, kind of hanging on and pushing through it. What are some of the rewards you've seen from pushing through some of those difficult times that you had?
First of all, when you even begin the process of pushing through and staying despite the bad, it's the beginning of the good. It's the beginning of the good. And that is for this reason. You know the other more truly as they are. And when you know someone as they more truly are, and they know you and are getting to know you as you more truly are, that love deepens. And though there is so much confusion that can cover your eyes and make it seem impossible to see any good out of the arguments and out of the confusion and hurt that still lingers for years, if you have faith, just as you have faith in God, when something really horrific is going on, if you have faith that the love is there, that you know that person has good and you're trying to see it, and gradually you do see it, good comes. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's very tangible. It's been a road, and I'm not going to say otherwise. It took a toll on me emotionally, and it led to physical problems. I had a number of just digestive issues and just anxiety and related to stress, but also related to a diet that seemed to exasperate my condition. I was told eat the grains and eat and stay away from the dairy and the meat, and of course, I followed it to the T and ended up with an overgrowth of yeast and a lot of problems in my stomach, and I think that contributed to the infertility issues that we were having. Well, a very interesting thing happened. I had a small surgery on my finger that turned out to be a rare yeast. And at that time, I learned that I had this problem. And I changed my diet, and things with Dima were changing. And it seemed that everything inside me and from my body, everything at once was sort of opening up. And at this particular point, I was saying a prayer to the Mother of God. I was in a rocking chair upstairs in our bedroom. And I had thought we had two healthy boys. We were happy. I didn't think we would have another baby. And at that moment, I opened my soul and I said, "If it is your will, please fill my womb with holy fruit." And I went down, and I knew in that moment that we would have a baby girl. I absolutely felt that I had met with the Mother of God the way that any one of us can if we open our hearts and minds to her. Mm-hmm. And I went downstairs and I said, Dima, listen to me. And of course, he said, "Don't tell anybody this. You sound crazy." And lo and behold, we had a baby girl, Elizabeth, and she is amazing. She's brought so much healing and such a sign of what can come from staying together. There is such a renewal in our lives, and it's not just because of her, but she is certainly fruit. And I'm having another baby.
Oh, my gosh. Very good. That's
this
wonderful.
Keeps coming. Yes.
The blessings keep coming, as they say. Let me ask you one final question.
Yes.
How has becoming an Orthodox Christian changed the way you perceive your marriage with its ups and its downs?
Becoming Orthodox changes the way I perceive everything. Specific to marriage is that love is a gift. It must be accepted. And I am not worthy, but I must always be open. And I will just say one small story. We attended a parish. And at this parish, it was, again, for hockey, and it was not a familiar parish. It was all in Slavonic, and I was very confused. And we were there for 3 hours. Finally, communion comes. I took the children. In fact, we were in line, and it was a line for confession, so I moved over, didn't confess in the service, went up for communion. The children did receive, and I did not. And I realized something so very important in this experience. I understand that some saints only received communion and only receive communion. They live in a desert or they don't, but they can't have access to it often, and that there is no lesser love in that experience. However, I've come to accept and to expect frequent communion, and by frequent communion, I mean that cycle of preparation. And I'm putting this in a parallel to marriage, because it seems to me that many times a married couple will have such infrequent communion with one another, such a distant way of loving one another, that the fact that love is a gift that must be accepted, even though you're not worthy, you must always be open, that message seems to be very, very fragile and can slip away. And what I've really wanted to kind of put out there is that it's so important to foster a way of life that draws you to your beloved. First God, and then your earthly beloved. We must fight and have a hungry heart to love each other.
Leah, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. Again, Leah's book is When Russia Came to Stay. Thank you, Leah.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to run away from you, but if I were to leave you, I would die. I'd like to break the chains you put around me, and yet I'll never try.
No matter what you do, you drive me crazy. I'd rather be alone. But then I know my life would be so empty as soon as you have gone. Impossible to live with you, but I could never live without you. For whatever you do, I never want to be in love with anyone but you.
You make me sad, you make me strong, you make me mad, you make me love.
You make me love for you. You make me live, you make me die.
You make me laugh, you make me cry for you.
You make me cry for you. I hate you. You treat me right, you let me be, you make me fight with you.
I could never live without you.
You make me high, you bring me down, you set me free.
I never, never, never,
I
I never, never, never want to be in love with anyone but